Welcome in to 11 Personnel, Nick Roush and Adam Larkin, getting you ready for a top 25 matchup this week between the Kentucky Wildcats and the Florida Gators. Larkin, it's an exciting time of the year. You're so excited that you're already down in Florida.
I'm in the Sunshine State. Yes, I am. About 90 minutes outside of Gainesville right now, Mr. Roush. The folks are buzzing down here. Florida State's 2-0. I'm in Jacksonville area, so this is big Florida, Florida State, and then a melting pot. But Florida State's 2-0. Florida's going to win a national championship now. And so people are excited here in the Sunshine State.
Well, we're excited to bring you another exciting edition of 11 Personnel, brought to you this week by our friends at Eckrich. Eckrich is proud to present the $1 million challenge for teachers. This 2022 college football season, Eckrich is partnering with Extra Yard for Teachers and Kroger. They're going to invite a local teacher on the field for the South Carolina-Kentucky game October 8th. These lucky teachers, randomly selected, will have a chance to throw a football through a target to win up to $1 million in donations to fund local classroom projects. Nominate a teacher for a chance to throw. Just head on over to Eckrich.com. You'll find the link under the football tab. Nominate your teacher by September 28th, and enjoy some of those Eckrich smoked sausages this fall at your tailgates. It's going to be a good tailgating day Saturday, going to be a toasty one down in Gainesville. We got the 7 p.m. kick between the Wildcats and the Gators, and the test effect is in play. And I'm a little worried about it because it went off. The season started with a bang with the test effect in that Florida State-LSU game.
It sure did. That was a football game there at the end. No doubt about it. We can get into Brian Kelly and all that. You want to talk about special team shenanigans? This is probably going to be something we'll talk about later, but they show up big. You know, they can change games. You saw Kentucky, like, the kicking game was a strength. It turned a close game into a blowout there in the middle eight. And for LSU, it cost them a win early in the season. So especially the kicking game is very, very important. Playing a game like Kentucky's going to be in Saturday, where I think, Nick, if these two teams play 10 times, like I believe probably 8 of them will be one possession games. I think it's going to be a very close game Saturday. Kentucky and Mark Stoops and Billy Napier both believe that stylistically they believe in a lot of the same things. So with that, you're going to see a limited possession game. You're going to see a defense that wants on both sides that wants to take away big plays first, and then you're going to see an offense that wants to establish the run and use a play action pass game. So that means limited chances to score, and you have to finish drives when you have a chance to finish them. So I think definitely it's we're looking towards a close game, and that's when special teams and all that stuff can matter. That makes even a bigger deal. And I think that has to be one of the best special teams performances we've seen from a Kentucky team in a long time. I mean, just total dominance in every facet outside of punting.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think back to some of the McGinnis days.
They've never had a returning combo like this.
Right, right. You had Charles Walker catching all of the punts, which I forgot.
He saved them a lot of yards, right.
Yeah. Somebody noted that in the press box, too. One of the returns that Tavion Robinson had, he caught it at like the 12. Where last year, they're just losing, you know, it's either going to the end zone or down to the 2. Like that saving them some yardage now. But special teams back, Berrion Brown, huge kickoff return. He was the fastest player in college football, collected running 22 miles an hour last Saturday. Robinson had a good return. You had a delay of game where Ruffalo still banged a 50-yarder. It was really good to see that. The ball came off Goodfellow's foot wrong on that 23-yarder. But for the most part, great special teams effort versus that poor special teams effort at LSU. All right, Luckett, you often tweet, what a sport. Yeah. It's one of your favorite lines. All right, let's rank the what a sport moments quickly from the first weekend of college football. Number one, special teams moment for me, it was the LSU game. I think that's number one. But number two, the Purple Pirates just blowing that game. They had NC State on the road.
College kickers moment, yeah, no doubt.
Gosh, I mean, That's a only in college football type game, just ahead of App State, North Carolina. But I mean, who knew North Carolina was such a Tobacco Road's a football state now.
To me, it was North Carolina App State just because of, like, that was a cool atmosphere. In-state P5 going to in-state G5. App State scores 40 points in a quarter and loses the football game. That is like Kentucky when they ran for, what, like 500 yards against Ole Miss. Yep. And all those rushing, all that, you know, the box score against Tennessee last year when you kind of dig into it. That is one of those, like, how did you lose that game? And to even get there, like, we had a kickoff return on the onside, which got those holding -1.5 tickets for North Carolina to cover town. And then you had to survive another 2-point conversion. So it was, and there was a lot there. Like, there was the against the spread aspects for the line there, and then how absolutely bonkers that game was in the fourth quarter. So to me, that was number one. Then LSU, Florida State's number two. I say it every year that these Sunday games on Labor Day weekend are just awesome to watch because they're just they have a tendency to get to go to Banana Land. And we went to Banana Land there in the fourth quarter with Florida State, LSU. Like at three different times, I thought that game was over. But I am here for Brian Kelly having Les Miles vibes at LSU to have these crazy comebacks. Because there was a good chunk of that game, I thought they were going to win until that one drive. I think Florida State went up 24-14 or whatever. Jordan Travis made a – I think it was go up 13. Jordan Travis made a bunch of throws off script, and it was good play calling. But then they stormed back again. Just wild. Kayshawn Boutte's absolutely checked out. I mean, two catches for that guy is just ridiculous. On all fronts.
I love that LSU fans are – like, people are having legit takes about Brian Kelly after one game, which is comedy because this team was going to stink.
It's week one. That's just what we do every year.
Well, and also the fact, like, Brian Kelly kind of got him down there, and they blew the game with just special teams there, which, you know, Scott Frost, like, special teams is a reflection of your head coach, I think, to an extent. This was one game. It was a one-off. It's not the consistency. Yeah,
game one of a tenure, right.
Yeah. But it was comedy. The other What a Sport moments I had, like it, the backyard brawl. I mean, the emotion there, the energy in that atmosphere, and then to lose. I mean, that was such a college football way to lose. Kentucky experienced it against Georgia in 2016 when Jeff Badette just drops a touchdown into the other team's hands. This one was a more routine play. Where the dude just, I mean, it's hitting him in the numbers. It goes up over his shoulder in MJ Devonshire's hands, and the former Cat houses it. That was a heck of a game. And then we had replays. We had replays in that game and replays in the Purdue game where you're like, I don't know. They called it a catch on the field. The ball moves a little, but I think it's still a catch, but they still overturned him. It was a nutty opening weekend of college football.
Yeah, that West Virginia game. Felt like the better team lost there, or the better team on that night. Like, I think Pittsburgh's better than West Virginia, but West Virginia, I thought, deserved to kind of win that game. And so to lose it, how they lost it, reviews weren't their best friend, obviously, down the stretch in that game. That was just wild. But that game feels like 3 weeks ago at this point, Nick. like that opening weekend feels long time ago after all this stuff happened. Like, it was one of the more entertaining, I think, opening weekends we've had in a while. I think maybe that's a sign for the season to come. Now, Alabama and Georgia, as of right now, look essentially light years ahead of people.
Yeah.
But things can change, so we have to see how all of that shakes out. But I think we could be in for a wild season, and I think sneakily, like, Kentucky, Florida could be one of the better matchups of this weekend. It could go down if it gets that test effect, like you're saying, to NFL potential quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It could have that effect here. So, a big opportunity, I think, for Kentucky. Big opportunity for Will Levis here. They've got a chance to go down there and really make it kind of a statement. And it's going to be a state. People are going to take it as a statement, win or loss.
Either way, yeah. So, you're exactly right. There's this game is for the SEC East. They're already you know, even if they're already litigating it between Florida and Georgia over who's going to win the East. Before we get to that, I did just want to point out that we do have a great slate of games. Like, this sets up well for Kentucky fans who aren't making the trip, because you got Texas, Bama to open the day with South Carolina and Arkansas at the same time. Like, those are going to be two really good games. And then we have the Johnny Majors Bowl between Pitt and Tennessee at 3:30. I've already bet the over because those defenses, both of them stink. We just need Keaton Slovis to keep on building on what he did. But that it's unlike last week where fans, if you across the board, like Kentucky fans, wanted to watch a ton of college football, you kind of got your hands tied in that late night window. But it's looking good this weekend. It's looking good this weekend.
Yeah, I think you even got the Friday night clash.
Oh,
UCF,
man.
UCF and Louisville is a good little matchup to start the weekend after NFL Bills-Rams takes over on Thursday.
The Roushes are going to be deleting some Bud Lights in Gainesville watching that. If you're going to Gainesville, by the way, just hit me up on Twitter. We'll find someplace at party. Is Florida Doug making it down a day early?
We're still deciding whether we're my cousins are in town. They're going down Friday. They're playing golf, I believe, down there somewhere.
Come on, just come on down a day early, Luckett. Let's watch the Cards lose. I'm heavily invested in Central Florida. The Golden Knights need them to come through.
I'll have to talk to the wife, see if I can get permission. But have you ever done a night out in Gainesville, Nick? I've only been here once. We drove in and drove out same day.
Yeah, well, and that's similar to me, where the first time I went, I was with Jack, who wasn't 21 and didn't have a fake ID, so we were limited. He was really, really cramping our style. And then the last time I went, I actually went and watched Scalzo and his teammate Ogenovich down in Fort Lauderdale. So I went early, went to Fort Lauderdale, drove up the night of. That drive a little bit further than I anticipated, so I didn't get into.
In hindsight, you might have not needed to make that trip.
Yeah, but you know, Fort Lauderdale, like I hear you. So I didn't get to make it out, and that was a night game of Saturday. So I've never done a night out in Gainesville. Looking forward to it. And I know that there can't be a lot of Central Florida fans in Gainesville, but I hope that Kentucky and Florida fans, we can all come together to just hate on Louisville's ass. Just hate them. Hate them out of the state. That would be kind of a fun twofer, though, just to go to the bounce house and then ride on up the next night. Like,
yeah.
I know of at least one media member who will be doing that. So hopefully he gets to watch the Cards get their teeth kicked in while we get ready for Florida, Kentucky. Luckett, I do want to ask you, that opening night game, Florida, Utah, ended up being one of the better games of the night. What did you learn from Florida in that win over the Utes? What's a Ute?
I think Florida's offensive line was impressive, specifically the interior three. They landed a transfer from Louisiana, Osiris Torrance, at right guard, 6'5", 345. He's probably going to – if he's not the first guard taken, he's going to be the second or third. Like, he's going to be a top 50 pick in the draft. He's a house, and he moved some bodies there against Utah. And then I thought their center and left guard also played well. That was really the impressive part, that they were able to run the ball with kind of their traditional run game with their backs as well with against Utah. And then the Anthony Richardson mixture thrown in. What was surprising was wasn't a lot of big plays for Florida. They generated it on the ground, but they were an efficiency machine on offense. They were staying ahead of the chains. Richardson had, believe, close to a 60% passing success rate, like a 70% rushing success rate. He was really good, but it wasn't with the explosive plays. And so that impressed me. And then Billy Napier is 17-3 in one score games. He's got the magic when it comes to late in games. And you saw some of that magic play out. In the second half, Florida – there was two separate goal-to-go possessions Utah had. They got 0 points on both. One was a goal line stand, I believe, in the third quarter, maybe beginning of the fourth quarter. And then the last one was that interception there to end the game. So Utah had twice where, you know, if they get any points there, it's at least going to overtime.
Yeah,
You kick two field. If they get a field goal early, if they don't go for it, kick that field goal, they're kicking, they're going for the tie there at the end, or going for the win. That's what I mean, at the end. So that was interesting. Florida's defense, Utah's good on offense. Like, they're balanced, but they don't have – receiver's a big question mark for Utah. But they have two NFL tight ends, and one of those guys had a really big game over the middle. And then they ran the ball, not only with their running back, Tavian Thomas, who's a good back, but Cameron Rising ran it on. He had 80 yards, two carries over 20 yards. Now, they do use him in the run game, similar to Will Levis, where it's not all the time, but they will scheme up to run the ball with him, and he can run the ball. So that is an aspect that I think Kentucky needs to look at this week. And overall, I just think it was an impressive win by Florida, but – it's a talented, like, Florida has depth questions, but that depth is not really an issue in week one, week two. And so everything held up for them, and they just won a 50-50 ball game to me there at the end. And Richardson made some big plays. I mean, we've all seen the big run that was gave them a middle eight touchdown, which was huge. And then we've all seen the 2-point conversion where he pumps and fakes and throws it out. But I think looking at Florida, the skill talent personnel just does not scare you. Like, it's
especially
not
on the edges, with like Justin Shorter, and that, like, they had the,
yeah,
they might have had the recruiting rankings like Xavier Henderson, but it's not the same pop that we're accustomed to with
Florida athletes. And that's really what I'm getting at in this matchup. It's 15. Like, can he get 15 on the ground? That's where their big plays are going to come from. They're going to come from him getting off script and making a big throw deep down the sideline or something. So that is a huge aspect in this game. And I think Kentucky's defensive line, it might, behind probably Levis, it's probably the second biggest factor for Kentucky. They really need that defensive line to play well, because they're going up against a good O-line, and because Richardson can just take over a game with, you know, his freaky athletic traits.
Yeah. One other player that's got some pop to him too, Trevor, I get him so confused. Their parents made it difficult on us. So Trevor Etienne is the younger brother of Travis Etienne, former Clemson, now with the Jets.
Right.
5 carries, 64 yards. He's got some wiggle to him. There was a couple times where wiggle's the best way to do, because he scored free, got on the outside, and made a few big plays.
I'll say about this, I don't know how much we're going to see him, because in their last drive, he broke off a 20-yard run, and he fumbled it just in the middle of the field. And he got damn lucky. It bounced right back into his lap. Typically, if you fumble like that early, they're not going to be itching to put you back in.
Ask Chris Rodriguez about it.
So, but he did have a couple 20-yard runs there and showed some stuff. A Louisiana transfer, Montrell Johnson, is their number one running back. He had a good game, but he had a fumble early. So their backs put the ball on the turf twice there, game one. So that is an issue. And if you look at Anthony Richardson's numbers from last year, now he had zero in 24 throws, which was impressive. When I'm talking about zero, I mean pass breakups, interceptions. Everyone talks about Will Levis's interception and pass breakup last year. Richardson had a higher rate than Levis. It was obviously smaller sample size. But that's an issue for him. Like, decision making, if you dig into his scouting profile, is something they need to see. He was good against Utah, but we'll have to see if that sticks, you know, against Kentucky, now that they have some tape on him in a new scheme. So I'm just very – like, Kentucky hasn't shied away their coaches from pretty much saying that they've been game planning for this game for a long time. Rich Gangarello has addressed it. Will Levis told us on Saturday after the game that Stoops and his staff have been, you know, really preparing for this game for a while.
Like, it's a big one. They know it. They know it.
They're going to be – I feel pretty good about Florida probably getting Kentucky's best shot, if not their best, close to their best shot. And Florida is in a rat poison scenario.
Man, the bulletin board material has been –
I mean, it is the most – like, it is the most – like, when Nick Saban talks about rat poison, this is what he was talking about.
Week one overreactions.
Like, week one overreaction. Everywhere. They haven't – you know, they beat – a good Utah team, a team we think is good, and everyone—I mean, they're number 12 in the AP poll. It was the biggest jump in 20 years, from unranked to ranked in the AP poll. Roman Harper's 16. Roman Harper's on here calling. He's calling. Okay, we remember the Florida teams the last 4 years. After one game, he's calling Kentucky soft, and that Florida's just going to dominate them.
It's a dominant win. They're going to win, and they're going to win handily.
Okay, I mean,
Roman Harper really doing his research.
Greg McElroy, who's all calling the game on Saturday, is comparing him like to Vince Young, saying he's the most athletic quarterback, whatever. Those guys, you can't have opinions. They watch ball, and I get it. But there is very much a crowning effect, and you've already seen Napier trying. He's fighting. He's trying to fight against this. He's like, you know, everybody. It was a great win. Everybody wants to crown the Gators, but we've got a lot of crap to fix. He said that line, I think, three times. And saying that they were sloppy, and then all this, like the tape was sloppy. So there's a lot that they're fighting against, but like for Kentucky, I think it's a really good situation to walk into. You look at the betting spread. I think with the Chris Rodriguez with Matt development today, you've seen that line jump up a little more. It's up to Florida -6 at DraftKings.
Yes.
So you're getting close to touchdown territory there.
Oh man!
Florida's going to be one of the bigger public favorites of the weekend. You look at some of the trends; they favor Kentucky. Kentucky's second FBS game, Nick. Typically, they play really well in this spot. That's when they've upset Carolina twice on the road. They took Florida to triple overtime in 2014. 2018, they went down to the Swamp and won. Last year they beat Missouri at home. It's typically one of the better games Kentucky plays every year. And so you add all that together with Florida maybe taking us – like, and there's another thing. If Utah and Kentucky are who we think they are, both top 20 teams, unless you're a national title contender – which I don't think Florida is.
It's hard to do back-to-back.
Two big games like that back-to-back in this sport. It just is. I just think there's a lot of things like
in
favor here going in. And I'm feeling
– Florida did this last year, right? The Bama game, everybody was ready to crown them because they lost close to Bama. They played well in that game.
This time last year, Nick, 2 weeks later. It was – Florida was the East, the bet. Like, people wanted – like, people were trying – like, they weren't on the Georgia train yet. Because Kirby had fallen on his face.
Yep.
Dan Mullen was the new thing. They had just won the East. They had just taken Alabama to the finish line at the SEC championship game in a shootout. And people thought, you know, that then they saw that Florida went and ran all these yards and Bama lost another close game. They were giving them a lot of points. Dan Mullen a lot of points for losing close. And then things fall apart. Now this is different. Neighbors, it's a totally different situation with what he's going through, but. Like, I think it's more likely that Florida comes out and lays an egg than it is that they play one of their best games of the season again on Saturday. I really do. And so we'll see what that looks like. But I think if you follow the trend lines and Kentucky plays one of their better games, they're gonna win the football game on Saturday. That's where my mind of thought is. It wasn't like that on Monday after I first watched the Florida tape because I kind of, you know, you see the Richardson highlights and you see kind of the efficiency numbers. When I dug deeper into the game, you saw they got some real bounces in that game. And then you go back to – you can't get too far off what your preseason expectations were for these teams after four quarters of football. You just can't. You have to believe in your offseason work. And my offseason work told me I thought Kentucky was better than Florida. That was with Chris Rodriguez. So that hurts. If Kentucky had Rodriguez, I would be –
hammering, yeah.
Yeah, even pretty feeling close. Line, a lot. I think Kentucky's got a great chance to win the game. You just don't know. It's going to come down to three scenarios to me, I think. But I think it's a great spot for Kentucky. I really do, overall.
We'll get into those scenarios in a minute. I'm really glad that you mentioned that the line is creeping up towards the touchdown. I was waiting because I knew the public would be on it even more, waiting for it to go up before putting some money on coin on the Cats. And you can do that by playing with our friends at MyBookie. MyBookie is the best place to play all season long. And, you know, winning season in the NFL, it starts tomorrow night with the Bills-Rams kickoff. Whether you're a first-time bettor or a vet, MyBookie gets you the most money for your bucks with a double deposit bonus. It's quick and easy. $250 deposit puts $500 in your account. You can use those funds instantly on as many games, contests, and props as you want. Claim your bonus. Register today. Use promo code PERSONNEL, designed to add more excitement to the games and sports you love. Whether you're betting team win totals before it all kicks off, the Super Bowl winner, or you're hammering the Cats money line, bet at MyBookie. Promo code PERSONNEL to double your deposit today. I know they got some fun props in there too, like it. And some of those Will Levis ones might be tasty. I want to get into this quarterback battle, but you mentioned some trends, right? And I had to go back. I looked at the last two games that Kentucky won against Florida. It's great that we live in a world now where we have trends and Kentucky wins over Florida. This is a new development in the world of prognosticating. And if you remember, the offense was crap last year. It was bad. Liam Cohen was like trying not to be visibly angry after the game because they were just horrendous. Yeah. 1 of 9 on third downs. So,
it was a total opposite of their season because they were awesome on third down.
Yeah.
Throughout
Grantham just put them in a pretzel. But if you do go back, I mean, both of those wins, defense played a significant role, not only just overall, but in the red zone. 16 points or less in both wins over Florida. The turnover margin was even. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot too much. I think Terry Wilson had like a pick going into halftime, and then you had that late pick or the late scoop and score to end the game down there. But it was even, so there wasn't a lot of just coughing the ball up to the other team. But everything in this game in my mind rides on the red zone. And
yeah,
2021, Florida was 1 of 3 on touchdowns. They kicked a field goal. They had to settle for a field goal early on, and then you got the end of game stop that ended it all. In 18, at one point, Florida punted the football in the UK 34. When they were in scoring territory, Kentucky bowed up. Florida was 2 of 4 on touchdowns. They had a field goal make, and they had a field goal miss, and that miss was huge. It changed the way that they had to play the game. This game starts and stops in the red zone, and right now, Florida has if you want to compare Anthony Richardson to somebody, anybody, you can do that with some of those big guys. Like, you can say he does things like Newton and Tebow did in the red zone because he was automatic down there. He did not get sacked at all, and he was really hard to tackle. He can extend plays, and when you extend plays in the red zone, dudes just end up wide open for a quick little pass. Kentucky, on the other hand, they do not have their red zone money-making machine in Chris Rodriguez. And that showed. That showed in week one. They couldn't just hand it to him to bowl ahead for 4 or 5 yards. Instead, you had the interception at the 2-yard line. You had to settle for a field goal after a review overturned a Tavion Robinson catch. The red zone, how Kentucky can or can't stop and how successful they are in offense. That's really, I think, where this game is settled, Luckett. And as you alluded to earlier with Utah couldn't get it done in the red zone last week. Florida did.
Yeah, I think it's of note here. Florida was 9 of 13 on third and fourth down. They went for it twice on fourth down and got it. That was a big part of them winning the game. Remember last year, Dan Mullen didn't roll the dice on some early fourth downs, decided to punt when he probably should have went for it. That was a win for Kentucky. So that's something to keep in mind here. But for me, it's three factors. And the team that wins all goes at least 2-1 here or 3-0 in these factors is going to win the game.
I love, too, like it, that we did zero collaboration, and yet we both came up with our own segments before the show. Like, we're just being pros out here today.
Yeah, it's just – chemistry. Got it. Some people do, and some people don't. This is what it is. Finishing drives. For me, Nick, not necessarily the red zone, but I talk about this all the time. Points per scoring opportunity, get inside your opponent's 40. Like, that is where college football is played to me. Like, that's where games are won. Kentucky can do themselves a bunch of favors if they can hit on like a 27-yard touchdown pass. If they could hit on a 32-yard touchdown pass, break a run down there to get in the low red zone. So maybe you're not having to get 2 first downs to get a touchdown in the red zone. I think that's going to be a big part of this game because we know if Florida gets in the low red zone, they're just going to be tough to stop there with Anthony Richardson. So Kentucky's going to have to find a way to win there, and they're going to have to find a way to get a stop there. With Florida, when it's 4th and 3 at the UK 33 and they're rolling the dice, they got to get a stop. Managing that, the middle eight is going to be huge in this game. Limited possession game.
There it is.
Both teams are going to have probably 10 possessions. And so you're going to – whoever – like, the toss is huge. Like, what, like whoever can win the toss in the first is going to get the double-dip possession into the second quarter, beginning of the third. And so winning that is going to be – and whoever loses the toss, like, playing that to draw is going to be huge. And then finally, the last one's turnovers. I talked about it earlier. Both these quarterbacks have had turnover issues. Whoever can force a big mistake from the other quarterback or two, or get a fumble and recover it. We saw Florida's backs put the ball on the ground last week. That's where the game's going to come down to. Whoever wins two of those three factors is, or all three of those factors, is going to win the football game.
Yeah, and particularly turnovers. I mean, sometimes it's a law of averages. So hopefully that's the case for Anthony Richardson this week, and he comes down to earth a little bit. One other point I want to make about Will Levis, you know, we're going to get in that press box. We're going to look at the seating chart, and there's going to be scouts for all 32 NFL teams there. They're going to be looking at these quarterbacks, dissecting every play. I think in Will Levis's mind, we're going to be talking about that. In his mind, I bet he's thinking about the way he played last year. It's bad.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the motivation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of motivation on the Kentucky side in a weird way, because they just beat Florida last year. But there's just a lot – there's a lot there, you know, that the coaches are using. That's why, like, Mark Stoops talked about, like, he didn't feel like his team was ready.
Yeah.
That was also kind of a message to me, like, we weren't ready, but we're going to be ready for Saturday. And so, like, I'm just very excited to see this game. I think it's got all the ingredients to be a real fun one.
Well, and here's the other part too. Will Levis, this is what you've been training for, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the moment. Moments haven't been too big for him. There's no doubt about it. And in fact, I think he actually does better when the pressure is cranked up a little bit. This is how you showed the tools early on. This is how you put out the tape that gets NFL draft scouts to say, this guy's worth the hype. This is when he becomes, I mean, he's become more popularized over the last year. This is where you can become a household name by showing out on ESPN at Florida and going and getting a big win for Kentucky. You're down a bunch of running backs, Ramon Jefferson out for the year, torn ACL, Jatai McClain week to week. Lavelle Wright was slow to go. They kind of wanted to take it easy on him in week one because he's been dealing with a hamstring. Will Levis, it might be time to lower that shoulder. Go run for a few yards, son.
Yeah. It's the game to unleash your quarterback. Kentucky's got a lot of this season, it's just on Seven. Like, it's just on him. Like, he's got to be – Kentucky has bet on him. And they're riding him. They're riding the horse. And so he's got, like, you're only going to go as far as he can take you. To go and win these big games, he's got to be the playmaker for you. And without Chris Rodriguez, it just puts more pressure on him this week. And, like, I'm excited to see what it is, because you're right. This all offseason, all this, all that, like, this is what it's for these games, these moments. These are what separates, like, from a prospect, this is what's going to help separate him from the rest of the pack. And for Kentucky as a team, we all know what the team goal is this year. It's to host Georgia on November 19th for an SEC East title. To get to that, you're going to have to win some big games, and you're going to have to win some big games away from home. Specifically, you're going to have to win two of these three big road games against top 25 teams, Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee. I think you're getting Florida in a great spot because of off the win, off all this hype. You're sneaking in as the underdog again. You've got, I think, a lot of factors going your way. I think you match up well with Florida. It's a game where you need to go play well, and you need to go win. And I think it's a big moment for Levis. He's going to need some help. They're going to have to figure out some protection. Mainly communication is going to be big. They're in, a crowd, and it's going to be a sellout crowd in the Swamp. It's going to be the first Kentucky game that's a sellout there, Nick, in probably quite a while. Kentucky goes down there, and it's not a game people are buzzing for. They're going to be buzzing for this one. So communication on the front is going to be key. And Rich Gangarello this week, it's not also a big moment for him, I think. I think Kentucky's defense is going to have a plan for Anthony Richardson. They're going to slow him down. He's not going to go crazy. And they're going to hold Florida to enough to win the game. It's up to Kentucky to go win, offense to go win it. And so Rich Gangarello finding scheming stuff up in the run game to steal some yards there, and then setting his quarterback up to make plays. I think for those two guys, it's got a lot of it. It comes down to them. So very excited to see what they've been cooking up in the lab and see what they put out there at Swamp.
The simple way to break down this game is which quarterback's better. And while that is true, a lot of that is predicated on what the Kentucky defense does. And I mentioned that number earlier, holding them to 16 points or less in the last two wins. Kentucky's defense showed me a lot without playing, without bringing their best effort, particularly on the defensive line.
That's the group to me.
I mean, but to see the secondary take away vertical shots, I thought the linebackers really fit the run game well. Nothing came easy aside from that one long touchdown run on the first drive. If you can get more out of that defensive line, and if you can get J.J. Weaver to once again step up and make big plays, there's something about this game like it. He loves it. I mean, he was thriving against Kyle. He was going toe-to-toe with Kyle Pitts when he tore his ACL as a freshman. He comes back last year, probably shouldn't even be playing, right? Goes and gets a pick, makes a big play. In week one, we saw a strip sack, but nobody was there to recover it. It kind of – the ball bounced right back to Gabbert or to, you know, the offensive lineman. He blocks a punt. Weaver can be the disruptor, the playmaker that Josh Allen was. Not as on a consistent basis, because Josh Allen's a college football Hall of Famer, best player in college football that year. But he can make those kinds of plays. You need to have somebody make those kinds of plays against a guy that's hard to freaking tackle, right? You need to have somebody like J.J. Weaver just to bring Richardson down. He got sacked zero times last week. Make him feel those hits. That's a big dude. You got to deliver the low blows. Kentucky's got to make him feel that physicality that the defense is going to bring this week.
Yeah, when you talk about Weaver, he's also huge because it's Wednesday, and we don't know if Jordan Wright's playing or not.
Yeah.
And so those two dudes are your habit creators on defense.
Like,
big plays are going to come from those guys. You're without one, so you need Weaver to pick up the slack. I thought he did. He got a few pressures, forced sack fumble. Thought he played well last week against Miami. Now this is a different caliber. But if you look at Florida's weaknesses on the offensive line, it's at tackle. So if you can get – like the key in this situation, right, is to make Anthony Richardson play within structure. You want to keep him in the pocket. You want to make him go through progressions and make throws. And if he does that, you're going to live with it, whatever the results are. But against a zone defense, that's what you want to make him do. And then you're going to take your chances if he makes a bad read or whatnot. But if you can get pressure, that just enhances your chance for success. I think Weaver's going to be a huge part of that pressure package for Kentucky. And one thing you didn't really see last week, Nick, from Kentucky – is their creeper and simulated pressure package. What I'm talking about there is where you bring a linebacker and drop a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
They were pretty vanilla last week. Like that's gonna be that's a big part of their rush package. Because that allows them to get pressure looks in a variety of ways, but you're dropping, you're still only bringing four. Now you have to be careful with those because gap control, especially this week.
With the rushing quarterback, right.
But some of these linebacker delay blitzes and stuff like that are going to be – that's going to be a big factor this week.
Trevin Wallace is going to be back.
Especially to get some quick, easy pressure on Richardson and with one of your better athletes running after him. So that's something to keep in mind. But I have – Brad White's going to have a plan here. They're going to be ready for this game on defense. I have very little doubt of that. I think – the one thing I would be worried about is like Rodgers and Ox going up against some of these double teams against that big Florida offensive line and allowing too much movement. They allowed movement last week. I caught myself thinking, I wonder if Ox lost too much weight. Because we didn't see the playmaking that you were hoping to see, and he got moved. Rodgers gave up too much ground. But the good thing for Kentucky is they're deep on that DL. And one thing Utah wasn't, they weren't real deep on their defensive line. And so Utah was worn the hell out in the fourth quarter. In Florida, their last two drives went for touchdowns just because, in part, Utah was so worn down on the defensive front. Kentucky's going to be able to stay fresh on that defensive front because of their depth. So that's going to be big when we get into that fourth quarter and it comes time to key stop.
I want to ask you quickly on two areas of concern that Kentucky fans are having right now, and then that is at running back and on the offensive line, because there's no denying that Will Levis took some lumps early on in pass protection with David Wallabaugh in their left tackle. Kenneth Horsey has kicked out the left tackle. It's pretty clear like it that this was always an option, one that they were preparing to potentially roll out throughout fall camp. And I think they just wanted to test Wallabaugh, see what he could do. Maybe also not show tape of Horsey as well. You know, this could be Kentucky feeding Florida some rat poison. But
gamesmanship here by Rich Gangarola, is that what you're saying?
It could be. Can Kentucky win this game without effectively running the ball like they did last week?
No, but I don't think they have to run it, ramrod it down their throat. Like, if you get, like, to me, like, if you can get to 130 yards, I think it's going to be good enough to potentially win the game. Because I think you Levis has to play well to win this game. And if he's playing well, that means he's going to throw the ball around a little bit. And if he's doing that, you don't need a lot from that run game. When I talk about Rich Gangarola scheming it up, I want to see what he does. Like, we didn't see much wide zone last week. Like, I'd have to think that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
How creative he gets in the run game with some different looks. I think getting Barry and Brown involved in the run game, getting Tavion involved on like some quick hitter, hit jet sweep type actions is going to be something they go to. And then obviously Levis, I think you're going to see some Q run in there. So there's going to be some stuff that Florida doesn't really have. They're going to have to defend. And if Kentucky can sneak some stuff by them early in the game, that could
see
by time down. And another thing, like, this Florida pass rush is not super scary. Now,
Brenton Cox is good.
But I'm more afraid of Brenton Cox against in the run game than I am him rushing the passer. That's where most of his havoc production comes from, is defending the run. And then the rest of the front, it's just like, they got Desmond Watson is a 430-pound nose tackle that's playing a lot of snaps for them. Nick, he's not giving them much in the pass rush.
Yeah.
They've got some other pieces. Like, this is the one position where Florida's just light. They're playing a couple freshmen, you know, and that the defensive line wasn't great against Utah, other than Cox. And so, you know, what does that look like? Now, expectation for Florida, they're going to run some of that twist game that gave Kentucky trouble. So Kentucky's going to have to be ready for that. If they can be ready for that, I think they have a chance to hold up surprisingly well. But what we've seen from the O-line, you know, you got to think that Florida's going to get some pressures, and Levis is going to have to stand in there, take it in the chin, and make some throws. But he did that last week, and he proved last year that he was capable of doing that. So, we get back to – here we are. We're back to talking about seven, right? Like, we start off talking about the run game. We get back to Levis. That's really kind of just – how this game's going to go.
Well, and my big thing, I just want the run game, particularly early on, to be respectable enough that they have to honor the play
action. It's an NFL game. And what I mean by this is, it's, you're not going to win it with your run game, but you got to have something from your run game. Like, you got to establish it so it's a threat to help open up your throw game.
I mean, just to hold that rushing linebacker for a second, to give Levis a head start on his bootleg. You know what I mean? Like, that is where he ran into too much trouble in week one, because Miami was just like, we're fine. We don't need to sell out for the run because they're not going to bust anything. If you can somehow generate an explosive from smoke early on, or you get some big successful runs from Lavelle Wright, like,
that can change the
dynamic of the passing game.
If a nickel's going to come down that hard and play like that, there's ways to beat that. You just need to have – you have to have a little shallow route there, so they have to cover it. I think Robinson, that was in those boots.
Across.
Or just a tight end, right? Even if it's not a guy you're going to really want to throw to, just to keep that guy respectable. So there's ways to counteract that, and I think Scangarello and all them will fix that. But, yeah, you're right. You got to find ways to make Levis's life easier, and getting more efficiency in the run game is where to do it. Not only that, like, they got zero rushes over 10 yards on Saturday, Nick. That's crazy.
I mean, it was the worst rushing performance I can ever recall.
Like, by dumb luck, they're going to
– football team.
By dumb luck, they're probably going to get a 10-plus yard carry in the first five attempts of the game. Like,
it's even just by Levis running, scrambling. Right. You know? Yes. Yeah.
So that's something they got to figure out. But, again, I think dig into this game. I think Kentucky matches up well. Another thing here, Nick, Jason Marshall is one of their starting cornerbacks, former five-star prospect from Miami. He's starting one spot. He had a camp injury, but he's a solid player. But their other corner, that's a weak spot for Florida. They don't have a lot of depth. Georgia transfer Jalen Kimber's playing a little bit. Both those guys, Nick, are smaller corners. And so you worry about, like, Dane Key physically matching up with people. That's not an issue this week. Barron Brown mm-hmm. physically matching up with Jams. I don't think it's an issue going against these guys opposite Jason Marshall. Now, I think it's a good matchup for your freshmen. And so what can you do to get them? And mainly, what can you do to get the Barron Brown the ball in space? Because he's kind of the zone buster. Because if they're going to play too high zone, he's a guy catching in the middle, can split the safeties and score a touchdown. So that's another big factor. It's a Richard Will show. What can they provide you? Because I think I know what I'm getting from the defense of Brad White. It's just what we get from the offense on Saturday.
Well, in particular, against a guy's experience is Trey Dean. Stoops kind of alluded to it, but it feels like that dude's been playing there forever. And he's just a smart player, not going to get beat deep. I don't think you're going to have a lot of beaters. I know we had that shot called from Levis to Brown last week where it was bad snap and he didn't really get it off. But, as fast as Barron Brown is, trying to beat them over the top is not the way to go. But you are really successful at running those in-cutting routes, right? Like that like 12-yard square feels like the Dane Key special, you know, mm-hmm. And especially if you've got Robinson going underneath it or just pulling those safeties out top, that can turn into a big play. And when you're playing that too high look, you want to have guys who are good yard after catch receivers. Well, you got them. You got them.
Yeah.
And you've got a bunch of tight ends where you didn't see a lot of them. I know most of us are disappointed Isaiah Cummings dropped that touchdown pass, but they've also got more to offer than what I think we saw in week one.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see because it could be coach speak, but I do think they were holding some stuff back. I mean, we've seen the Stoops blueprint in these early season games. I mean, they look like absolute crap in 2018, turning the ball, fumbling the ball over themselves against Central Michigan. Terry Wilson throwing interceptions, and the defense, you know, didn't look all that great. And then they go down there and just stuff Florida in a locker. And so we've seen them do this early in seasons. And even when they don't have the better team, they go down there and really play well. I just think you're going to get one of Kentucky's best shots of the season. At least that's what the history tells us. And I'm just excited to see what we get from Scangarello and Levis.
Well, Luckett, we're nearing the end. You sound much more optimistic than most. And I can – even the last time we talked on these YouTube airwaves, which if you haven't subscribed to us already on YouTube, go ahead and smash that button now. Are you ultimately going to predict a Wildcat win down in the swamp over the Gators? The first back-to-back wins for Kentucky over Florida since 76 and 77.
Yeah, I'm in that camp.
Oh!
When we write our KSR predictions this weekend, I'll have Kentucky as a winner, a one-possession winner. I think this is going to be a one-possession game either way, Nick. Napier 17-3, but Stoops has a pretty damn good record too in one score games.
Yeah,
I believe he's 20-9 since 2016. So, but these are both teams that are going to be comfortable playing that way. I think there's either going to be a turnover or a special teams play that's huge in this game, and so we'll see who wins out. Like I said, I just think there's a lot breaking Kentucky's favor in this matchup. The way they beat Utah was just really kind of perfect from Kentucky's aspect, right? I mean, Feinbaum, like, Stoops is going on Feinbaum today, and he's not going to say – he's going to do the old word salad, you know, talk how good Anthony Richardson is. Probably throw more Anthony Richardson hype out there.
Yep.
You know you're going to get the picture of game day, right?
Yeah.
Florida, 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 Florida. And you know the UK media teams.
Maybe
got
Kirk
receipts.
Kirk might throw Stoops.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. People are on this AR-15 or AR Kool-Aid.
He dropped the 15, yeah, which I think is probably timely. So considering everything,
you know, they have receipts over there in the Joe Kraft football training facility. You know, and there is some big time confidence. We could go back to the cow fight, right? But even this week, even Stoops this week was. Seems like he's feeling pretty good.
Still about business what they as have. Usual, Stoops. Right, yeah. Right. And I think a lot of, you know, we all have our dumb fan brain takes where, I mean, I was thinking the same thing when I first watched the condensed Florida-Utah game where you're just like, because I think the biggest surprise for me, I was in the camp going into the season that I wanted Florida to get demoralized by Utah because I just didn't think that they had the, I didn't think they had it in them to play against a physical yeah. team like Utah.
See, they would have been a wounded animal, though, if that happened. They're not a wounded animal.
Right.
They're up there with King Louie eating grapes in the Jungle Book. They're just hanging out. And so, like, Kentucky, it's a good spot for them to come in here. And especially with, you know, like Kentucky's offensive line has said they heard about how they stink all week, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And they feed it off that in the past. We'll see. It's a different group, different coach, all that. It's kind of a statement game either way for Will Levis. Even if, you know, there's going to be takes. We have to read both ways from this game. Some we'll probably give off.
Yeah.
And so for him, it's a huge game, and for Kentucky to get to where they want to get to, it's a big game. And if you win this game, Nick, it just sets the tape like. It sets the table here going into this Ole Miss trip. You know, you got two games at home. You should win. You got time to figure out the kinks. You know, we think we'll have Rodriguez back by that point. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just sets the table for the rest of the season. Like you can, and Kentucky, the two big years they had, 2018, 2021, it was buoyed by early season wins to Florida. The year was like that really got things rolling.
Get the momentum going. Football's a momentum sport.
So it's a huge from that aspect.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to going down to Gainesville. There's a buzz in the air. There's going to be a confidence with Florida. And it's a different kind of confidence, too, like it, where it's not the Tennessee, we don't respect you confidence that you normally get, that you get from a lot of teams like Tennessee and Florida. They have that sort of,
they're not even talking about Kentucky. It's not.
Yeah. We're about in the East.
Them this week.
Like, watch out, Kirby. Like, you want to change the cocktail party? By God, we'll change it for you because we're going to start kicking your ass.
We got a top 10 win. We're ranked number 12. What do we have to do to play Georgia for these? That is what is in the Florida psyche this week. So, good. I mean, it just opened an avenue. That, I'm not saying Kentucky's going to win, but I don't think from a situational standpoint you could walk into a better type of matchup. And, like I said, back to the beginning, playing two teams this caliber – and if you're not a national title contender, it's hard to win these games. And the rat poison is bountiful here in Gainesville.
We're going to be scarfing it down. Hopefully the Gators drown in it on Saturday night. Luckett and I will both be in Gainesville. TBD for Luckett on Friday night. Taylor, just let him go. Come on.
She's right here. Should we come over and ask her?
Yeah, Taylor, just let him go. Luckett's a superstar. He's a peacock. You got to let him fly.
Yeah.
But we appreciate y'all listening, tuning in, subscribing on YouTube. Big shout outs to our friends at Eckridge and MyBookie. Use that promo code personnel to double your initial deposit. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll have some more exciting action to bring to you from the swamp Saturday night. Until then, for Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats! And